From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 26th day of April, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities. Chad Hart from Iowa State Extension will join us to discuss the weather market in South America and how it may dovetail into one in the United States. And we'll take up the weather forecast, too, that with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today settled up 25 cents. That's the limit higher at $6.80.5. July at $6.57.5, up 25 the limit. And December corn 17.5 higher for the new crop at $5.68.25. May soybeans $15.69, a settlement price up 29.25 cents. July 23.25 higher at $15.39.25. And November beans new crop at $13.62, up 20.5 cents. The bean oil $6.40 higher at the bean meal, $6.40 higher, and bean oil up $2.50. July wheat up 27.25 cents for the soft red at $7.39.5, and the hard red July at $7.08.75, 28.75 cents higher. Live cattle futures in the April 65 higher, the June at $116.27.5, up 55 cents. Feeder cattle were down $1.10 in the April, the May contract down 40 cents at $137.27.5, and lean hogs for the May at $109.25, 10 cents per 100 pounds lower on the afternoon. Crude oil around 15 cents lower. The U.S. diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.87 at 8 tenths, just about unchanged. Gasoline down a penny and a half at $1.98. Here to discuss the marketplace for the day is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
So we had a limit update Thursday. No follow-through to speak of, really, or not very much, on Friday, given it was a limit higher day. And then I'm wondering why it is we managed to put a limit up move in the corn again on a Monday.
Oh, boy, I'm loving these Mondays. The Mondays were brutal, so I got to keep promoting that. Green on Monday. See if we get a turnaround Tuesday or not. But no, you'd think it was the 4th of July, and we haven't had rain for about a month and a half or two. So it's a dynamic market, very, very intense. Today's action, I don't know, it's a little question mark. You trade firm overnight, you kind of pull back, but as soon as we got into the day session part of it, you're locked limit up front. And there were 70,000, 80,000, 90,000 bid limit up, and all of a sudden you trade there for about 5, 10, 15 minutes, and you're down 10 cents off those limit locked up trading. You go down, you come back up, you lock limit up again for another 5, 10 minutes, and you break 5 cents off that. And I mean, there's huge, huge buy orders there. So somebody's, you know, a lot of money's being floating around, I guess is the correct way to say it. And you have to wonder what's going on when all those big pools are there and they disappear and back and forth and so forth. So it's going to get intense. We'll have expandable limits tomorrow. As we go into May, the new limits, they're going to have corn limits of 40 cents a bushel and bean limits as much as of a dollar. So volatility is going to increase here. It's going to become a situation you got to be well financed and have a plan to stick to it. But coming in today, we lost a huge amount of open interest in the May futures positions, particularly corn, because of option expiration on Friday. There we had futures match up with some option positions, and we were down to about 168,000 contracts open interest. And you have 100,000 bid limit up. You know, that's more than people want just to get out. That's some major moving around. But the dynamic thing about it is guys are busy focused on getting the crop in the ground. This afternoon, we're expected to see corn planting progress about 18% as a nation and bean progress about 8% as a nation. I think probably the corn might be a little lower and the beans a little higher. A lot of beans have been going into the ground. But guys being busy farming here, ahead of a rain here on Wednesday, everybody's got their hands in their pocket. The cash market just remains on fire. Not only old crop, but new crop. Last Friday afternoon there was a major push of a major firm, as much as 20 cents over, just to get some inventory there going home Friday, like 1:30, 2:30 in the afternoon. So there's some panic buying taking place as the price structure from this uncertainty, and there's a lot of commercial interest out there wanting to gain some coverage here. May corn finished at 680. Well, there's no question. Might as well check out $7, 720 here. May beans finished at 1569. There's no reason to run on up to 16, I guess, while we're marching north. Might as well keep moving here and see how high is here as we move into early spring.
Yeah, so where will the demand begin to tail off? Because that's the story we're trying to write at this point, I suppose.
Well, we've heard rumblings, a little bit of switching, feeding more wheat. We really haven't seen the buyers just completely back away just yet. Where the demand slowdown is going to come, and I think we touched a little bit on commodity week, is as we move forward here, I think the ethanol facilities will start to take some downtime. Same thing if we run into a situation where crushers normally are the main theme as we move into late July. They usually take some downtime because oftentimes you have a problem getting the cash beans bought then. So once we see those guys slow down, or two, on the livestock side, we see these feeders start pushing these steers and heifers and hogs out at lighter weights, might not want to pay up and feed them to heavier weights. So that's a sign. There's several signs to watch. I think we're starting to get close to that. The other thing, too, is overnight Malaysia palm oil was lower. The world vegetable oil market has slowed down, but our bean oil struggled for most of the morning. As we got in the late morning, early afternoon, it took off like a bottle rocket again. So there's some urgency to gather some bean oil positions. I keep calling that the TT trade.
Hey, very quickly, livestock sector you mentioned. However, it is a little unusual, I think, for livestock on a day like today to have a lot of green on the screen. That was there and evident today. I guess that sector looks like it's going to stay pretty active.
Yeah, the June fats, they've taken a heck of a hit here. June fats were up to 125. We broke down to 115, $10 break. We had a price hook reversal to the upside here. Cattle and feed report showed a few less numbers than what we're looking at. You think of higher grain prices, lower profitability in feeding. However, that's going to affect the feeder cattle market more than anything. There's popular spread there, and feeders were down over $1.10. So we'll continue to monitor that. The hog complex, once again, it's had a heck of a run here, and we've been virtually moving sideways here for the last month and a half. So it's either due to roll over here or put another leg to the upside.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. Iowa State Extension agricultural economist Chad Hart now joins us to take up the commodity markets and trade. And I think, Chad, I'd like to start with this question for you, because much of what's happened, at least in probably the last month, but certainly the last week in Chicago as related to corn, is targeting what's been taking place with the safrinha corn crop in Brazil, dry conditions there, and the idea that as we get later in the year, that is simply not going to get better and the crop will continue to deteriorate even in its very early stage. And the question is, how long will it take the marketplace to put all of that into the price of corn, and how quickly might it turn around once it's decided that's done?
Well, that's the deal. I don't think the market's wasting time in putting that pricing into the corn market right now. And I think it does then become a question of, okay, as we look at that, as you say, that's a farina crop. Yep, every time we sort of look at it, the weather conditions are beating it down. And what that's doing is that's holding open the export window for us as we look at the international side of the market. You look at our export sales thus far, they've been very strong, but shipments have been running well behind sales. We still have over a billion bushels on the books that haven't been shipped yet, but this weakness in South America is, a strong indication that, those sales will be shipped out here in short order, and we could possibly add even more. And so, yeah, that's created the price, I guess I'll call it excitement now. The question really is, does that hold on long enough for that weather market to transition from a South American-driven weather market to a U.S.-driven weather market, especially given that it's the dry conditions down in South America that are creating problems, and it's the dry conditions as we stare here at the U.S. that could create some problems here.
Do you think that would be possible? Because I would guess that would mean it would have to run all the way through the month of May and into a good portion of June in order to pull that off.
I don't know about that. I'm going to sit here and go, okay, as we look today, I think there'll be a little chatter about, did our plantings get delayed given the weather that we've had over the past week? And are we putting that crop in a timely enough manner to hopefully avoid maybe some problems? And so I think, as you were looking here again, it's the expectation of the weather that maybe matters more than the actual weather event itself at times, especially at this time of year. And so as we're looking here, like with corn planting, the idea is we know the next 2 to 3 weeks are very critical in terms of getting that planting pace up and going in order to time this crop out well for the upcoming growing season. When we're looking right now, I think for this week, there's this thought that, we've had these fronts move through that have stutter-stepped us in terms of planting this year, likely going to put us a little bit behind schedule as we're moving forward right now. If we continue to get that little bit of rain now, but then we turn dry again a little bit after that, that is almost like the worst situation because, you've delayed the planting and now that newly planted crop is not getting the moisture that it's going to need to take off.
So are you of the mind that we could consolidate at a higher level waiting for that to happen?
I think that's part of what we're seeing in the marketplace now is that I'm going to argue that, right now we're building in a weather market for South America. But I'm going to say that at least part of it is probably with an expectation that it transitions to an American weather market.
There would be a lot of fear of missing out
in
that form.
There's a lot of fear of missing out. And when you look here, I mean, that's why, as we look today, you look out there, nearby's up, 20 to 25. But you look at that new crop floating up out there, at least a dime. And we know that one, should be the one that's really watching, the planting conditions here as opposed to what's happening in South America.
So it is building in, but to a lesser degree, a weather market in the United States.
Yes.
Do farmers need to do anything other than wait?
Well, and this is where I'll play off the idea that, in this case, the tail may wag the dog. When I'm looking at new crop bids here in central Iowa for harvest, already over $5, I would argue that's a good time to make a move. Now, do I want to be, adding whole hog? No, because this may still have some legs here. But at least I can, if I haven't started sales already, this would be a great time to begin. And maybe this is the time when we start to talk about how do you build in floors underneath what we've got right now? Not necessarily selling the crop, but how do I put some price protection underneath me? So just in case this thing does turn around, I can at least protect what I've already captured.
What do you do?
I think in this case, there have been a lot of talk about, utilizing some put options out there. I've seen some folks that have actually, those that have already moved, looking to try to utilize this period of time through short-dated calls in order to let them, play in this rally here. And I've been talking to a lot of farmers about how, you know, and as I look at the futures market, this seems to be playing out that the market expects sort of a seasonal pricing pattern, but it's a more exaggerated one as we look out there. And so it's this idea of that, you know, here, April, May, June, that's when we tend to set that price high. We're definitely in, you know, high territory right now. And so, yeah, what moves are you comfortable making here, whether it be through, you know, is it a straight hedge? Is it, you know, putting some options underneath you? Is it forward selling? But something, you know, that the farmers are comfortable with in order to protect the price gains that they've experienced up to this point.
Hey, thank you.
My pleasure.
Chad Hart is with Iowa State University Extension, where he serves as an agricultural economist on the Ames, Iowa campus. Now let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics. Mark, thank you for being with us. And good Monday to you, by the way. Can you tell me about the weekend in the Safrinha growing areas for corn for South America, Brazil in particular? Because I think that had an impact on the marketplace today.
Hey, Todd. Well, looking at or assessing the Safrinha corn belt in Brazil with the weekend rainfall. Overall, it was very scattered and light. And that was the general expectations going into the weekend. But if anything, even the activity came in, you know, less than what was originally expected, as there was some rain activity in portions of like Paraguay. But as it began to move into southern Brazil, it basically dissipated. So this rain opportunity this past weekend just, you know, did not yield much in the way of any significant relief.
Do you see anything coming for them in the future?
Overall, the pattern, yeah, still continues to look very, feature very limited rainfall opportunities. Really, the next opportunity for some rain is coming up during the May 3rd through 4th timeframe. So that's going to be the next window to watch. As it looks right now, it doesn't look very good, but obviously, given the sensitivities, need to keep an eye on that specific window.
Turning your attention to here in the United States, last week was a pause across the Corn Belt because of cold weather. And today, we're going to, well, upper 70s in our part of the world.
Yeah, we've certainly seen an increase in temperatures over the past 24 hours or so. And this is now the start of a much milder pattern across the nation's midsection. And certainly the most anomalous cold of the past several weeks, that is now done. And now kind of back to a normal or even slightly warmer than normal pattern temperature-wise here in the Corn Belt.
Do you see rainfall in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, the Dakotas in particular, and enough rainfall in the Midwest to continue the good start to the growing season? I think it still remains a little dry in lots of places.
Yeah, I guess to answer your second question first, we do see some rainfall chances at times here across, you know, the Corn Belt as a whole, but nothing that's going to really disrupt any or cause any large scale disruptions in overall planting progress. In some ways, it's kind of a more kind of normal rainfall pattern for a majority of the belt. But the one area that will not be seeing that much rainfall, and this is answers your first question, it's the northwestern Corn Belt, areas of the Dakotas and western Minnesota. Opportunities just don't look very good here coming up. It's not a totally dry pattern, but activity looks light and scattered, and that, you know, favorable for planting initially, but obviously more rain is needed once the crop is planted to help make up the long-term precip deficit.
In season, weather tends to be persistent, meaning once you start one way, it sticks around for a longer period of time. That gets an opportunity to change around the solstice as the seasons change. Are we at a point of concern for you in those areas that the dry weather conditions will remain?
Well, Todd, funny you bring that up. We are researching for our summer outlook right now. So that is certainly part of our research looking ahead towards the core of the summer. And obviously, as much dryness as there is here in really across the entire country, obviously the focus is more so out western U.S. But for this time of year, it's the highest percentage of the lower 48. that is experiencing some drought conditions here for late April. So that's really the elephant in the room right now. And that's part of our research that we hope to answer here with our summer outlook later next month.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to hearing about that. Thank you for bringing us the weather forecast for today.
Yeah, you're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. He's near Chicago, Illinois, and helped us take a look at the weather forecast. Now let's check out the cash grain situation with Greg Johnson at the Andersons from Champaign, Illinois. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us. Are you busy on this Monday?
Well, no. We thought we would be with the limit up move in the corn market and sharply higher bean price higher. But no, farmers must be busy getting it in the ground rather than taking time to call in and sell a little bit.
I'm surprised that's actually the case, that they didn't do both. Are you?
I thought once it went into the ground, we would see a little bit more farmer selling, both old crop and new crop, but that has not materialized yet. I guess the stories with the dry weather through mid-May in South America, the rumors of China wanting to buy more corn, and then some long-term forecasts for drier weather here in the U.S. this summer has maybe convinced farmers to sit on their hands, and so far sitting on their hands has been the right strategy.
How unusual is an April rally?
Very unusual. I really thought we would see corn and beans get planted, and once it got planted, farmers would feel a little bit more comfortable selling, and maybe they will, maybe next week or later this week, but so far it has not materialized into any increased farmer selling at all.
Is the old and new crop corn basis tightening up?
Yes. Yeah, it continues to be extremely firm. There's, we think there's 5% of the beans left, and we still got 3 to 4 months of the marketing year to go. We think there's 15% of the corn, but based on the way the May-July is inverted and the July-December is inverted, maybe there's not even 15% of the old crop corn left. We'll have to wait and see, but markets continue to invert old crop versus new crop.
Rumors of demand from China and other places are always only rumors. Are there any indications that China will meet the exports expected for this marketing year and up next year's or not?
It kind of feels like it. If you look at what cash bids are worth versus the board, somebody wants the corn, so it kind of makes sense that maybe there is some Chinese interest. I don't know why else you would see 20 over, 25 over basis levels, and why you would see May corn trading 20 to 25 cents over the July, and July trading almost a dollar over new crop corn, unless there was some real demand out there. So, like you say, it's hard to prove that prior to it actually happening, but the markets are certainly acting like there is some export business out there.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
And Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, helped us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.